I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to see the world always all standing hand in hand. Divine love filling every heart and peace throughout the land. It's the sound I hear. And I'm here to say what the world wants today is the real thing. And I don't mean coke, honey. I mean the real thing, pure divine love. And this is Ivis Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today I want to, she's been on the show before, and she'll be on again. She's a pretty much a regular for our cause. And I want to introduce to you, if you haven't heard her before, the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear Sharon Callahan, celebrated animal communicator. World-renowned animal communicator, author of Healing Animals Naturally with Intuitive Listening and Flower Essences. Sorry, Sharon, I always have trouble with that. And she is also the minister of her own church, Sacred Spirit Ministry in Mount Shasta, a regular columnist in Animal Wellness Magazine, and I could go on and on, but this is, I give you Sharon.
Thank you so much, Iris.
Thank you for having me
on your show again. It's always my pleasure to be with you.
It is always my pleasure, and I get so excited because, Sharon, tell us what your purpose is. What is your purpose and your mission statement?
I often get described as an animal communicator, which you so beautifully did. But more than anything, I really see myself as simply a channel for divine healing and light. I don't feel really that I do anything more than open myself completely to the beings that I work with. And as much as I can, I actually try not to make a distinction at all between animals or people or insects or plants, but to see them always as divine equals with something beautiful to teach and to give. And in that way, when I do my work, I'm completely open to whatever being wants to speak and share its wisdom in that particular moment.
That's so beautiful, Sharon. I want to say that if there is anyone that would like to have a reading right now with your animal, you are welcome to call in. And I think I have the number here. I think it is five. No, that's not it. I have about 20 numbers here. Well, I don't know the number for you to call it. If Dawn wants to jump in here and give us the number, that would be wonderful. The details of these sort of things don't seem to be my department, and I ask for
sure mine either.
Maybe that's why we can't get the number. Well, if somebody really, really, really wants to call and have a reading with you, I'm sure they'll get through.
I'm sure they will. They will. I'm confident that they will.
Well, Sharon, one of the reasons I asked you to be on today is that I was, and I want to just back up to what my purpose is. My purpose is for everyone on earth from this time forth and forevermore to be fully engaged in fulfilling our divine blueprint, our divine plan, and to have health, wealth, love, happiness, fulfillment, and be inspired beyond words to describe, be fully alive. And that means also that we wouldn't interfere with the divine blueprint of any animal. We wouldn't take away their babies. We wouldn't kill them. We wouldn't kill anything, because I believe to have peace on earth, each one of us has to take each form of violence out of our lives, out of ourselves, the cause, effect, record, and memory. And so I've been sort of, I noticed that yesterday was Holocaust Remembrance Day, and I realized that we still have the Holocaust going on, but it's for little animals.
We do.
And someday, when everyone's completely awake, we will look at that with the same horror that we do the Nazi concentration camps and the ethnic cleansings and the and all of the things that have been done to people.
Right.
I think we will look on it with that. What do you say about that?
Well, I think it's a beautiful point that you bring up, and I mean, I would certainly, number one, want to honor the remembrance of the Holocaust, because, of course, it's one of the most horrible things that's ever occurred in history. And when the anniversary comes around, it really behooves us to take some time, and as painful as it is, to really think of what those people suffered, all of the children, women, men, whose lives were ended, and to really honor that. One of the things that came to me, Iris, after you called me yesterday to ask me to be on the show, because my work is with animals, I suddenly had the realization that, you know, a lot of the people who are instrumental in the animal welfare and animal rights movement are Jewish. And I feel the reason for that is that they have experienced tremendous suffering, either themselves or their families. They know what it's like to be deprived of life. They know what it's like to have their right to life taken away. They know what it's like to be put in a cage, to be transported in the dark, not knowing where they're going. And I think that the Jewish people's experience of suffering has given them many, many great gifts. But I do believe that that's one of them. And, you know, there's, for people that are interested in this topic, there's actually a fabulous book written by a man, Dr. Charles Patterson. And the name of the book is called Eternal Treblinka, Treblinka. And Dr. Patterson, who is Jewish, has written this magnificent book drawing parallels between the Holocaust and the historic and present Holocaust of the animals. Very, very interesting. I mean, like any of these things, not easy to read, but I highly recommend it, because Dr. Patterson's parents were in the death camps, and both of his parents lost their first spouses and married after having met in the concentration camps. But he talks from experience and from the experience of his parents, what they went through, and how it led them to an incredible tenderness and caring of animals and willingness to speak out on behalf of animals. So it's really interesting to me, Iris, that you happened to think of calling me for the show today.
It's something I've been thinking about for a while, and I saw a saw a couple things I wanted to bring up lately. One was a movie called Fast Food Nation, and it's about a slaughterhouse, and it's about Mexican people that are brought over by the coyotes. There's that word again. And sneaked into the country and then start working at this horrible, horrible, horrible place. And it's graphic, and I had to leave the room at some point. But the amazing thing to me is that we can think that doing something like that to an animal will not come back to us.
Yes, and isn't it, Iris, just totally and completely horrible all the way around, not only the horrible way that the animals die in such places, but the fact that we take people, that people that have no other way to make a living, and give them the most horrible job imaginable.
Yes, and treat them like animals in the process.
That's right. It's horrible all the way around.
Well, I want to say why I'm doing this. Why I'm doing this is because I want people, I want everyone to start treating all animals and all beings with the same love and respect and tenderness that you and I do our cats.
Yes.
That's what I want for all beings. I want that connectedness so we know that if we hurt another part of life, we are hurting ourselves.
That's
and
right.
I think it's why there is so much human suffering. Because those things just aren't thought about, or people just say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. And so,
and I think, yes.
Go ahead.
I think
jump in
too,
anyway.
That's right. I think, too, Iris, I mean, one of the things that I find in my work, I mean, all of the people that call me are wonderful people, or they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be calling me in the first place. But I think one of the other reasons, things, the horror of the suffering of the animals and people continues, is just that what I hear over and over again from people is they feel powerless to make a difference. They think that the problem is so huge that there's nothing that they as an individual could do to make it different, and therefore they don't want to look at it. It's just too painful. And I think one of the things, Iris, that you and I have learned in our own lives, and that maybe we can help each of our listeners today to understand, is that they are powerful people and they can make a difference.
Well, you know, I speak out on the smallest things, Sharon, and I recommend that people do this. Like, I'll give you an example. I had bought some Lancôme cosmetics, and I love their colors. They have the most beautiful colors, and I had been told that they don't do animal testing, and so then I found out that they do animal testing. You know, that's one of the things I do, is I find out these things.
You found out, Iris, by calling them?
I found out by getting the PETA list.
I see.
About what products are tested on animals and what products aren't. And so when I got that, I wrote a nice letter to Nordstrom, where I had gotten them, and I wrote a nice letter to Lancome, and I took back every single Lancome cosmetic that I had. And I said, here, I can't support this company. And I asked Nordstrom, I said, you know, this is what I would like, for you to have cruelty-free products. And mm-hmm. so I think we have to vote with our dollars.
And our forks.
And our what? And our forks, yes. Well, and what we wear. Yes, and I decided calling the 800 numbers, and I say, well, when you say cruelty-free, or when you say you don't experiment on animals, you don't test on animals, do you buy any products from anyone that tests on animals? Do you buy any products from any laboratories that test on animals? And I've been asking, is that mandatory for them to say that if they do? You know,
right.
That we've got to be truthful here.
That's right.
And I like the thing you did with the boots, when you got the boots that were...
Yes.
Tell that story.
I can't remember which boot story it was. I have a lot of them, actually.
Well, you got some boots from a catalog that were all man-made products, and
yes.
they didn't have any animal products, and they were just beautiful winter boots. And then you wrote them a note and thanked them for carrying those kind of boots.
Yes, and I think that's an important thing, too, because you see, so often we can jump on the bandwagon and want to criticize... criticize them for what they're doing that's wrong. But you're bringing up a good point, Iris, because it's equally, if not more important, to compliment and praise tremendously the companies that don't do harm to animals, because that's positive reinforcement, and we need that so much.
And what you acknowledge, you get more of.
That's right.
And also the 800 numbers, you know, like I used to really love Jell-O. So I kept calling and calling and calling General Foods on their 800 number and saying, you know, I really would like it if you did a vegetable gelatin. I would really like that. And just asking for what we want.
That's very positive, too, because you're giving them an opportunity to do something that's positive.
And, you know, here's a thing that not a lot of people know. If you call an 800 number and ask for something, if you write to a consumer department in any company, in any big company, they figure at least 3,500 people feel exactly the way you do, and they didn't call or write.
That's right.
That is the statistics.
And that kind of goes back to what I was saying. You know, each of us can make a tremendous difference, and that's a good example of how.
Yeah, and it's important to start noticing. It's important to start noticing, because there has been so much suffering on this planet that we've just turned our head away from and said, oh, well, that's just the way it is. We can't do anything about that. And you said a really interesting thing last week. Would you say that thing again about the way, not last week, but, you know, a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
that thing that you said that you do in the morning, and I've started doing it, about the lion lying down with the lamb?
Yes. Every morning when I do my morning prayers and meditations, I always hold the image of the lion lying down with the lamb. And when I conclude my meditation, which can be a little bit different on each day, I always ask that the lion lay down with the lamb in a literal sense. And I really feel there's tremendous power in that, particularly because for most of us, when we think of the lion and the lamb together, we get a pretty intense visual image of that, because all of us have at least seen that image on a Christmas card or something.
Yes.
So it's a very, very powerful image, and I think that if we would all hold that image, not just as something fanciful, but actually something that could occur on Earth, we would see a tremendous difference in a very short time.
Well, I am holding that with you, and it's something I've been asking for a long time. I've thought that's the only thing that's going to get it done. You
yes.
know, that's what we really, really, really want. And all of us want that when we look into our deepest heart. That's what we all want. We want everyone to be happy and to have what they want and have plenty to eat and be happy, fulfilled, and inspired beyond words to describe. We all want that for each other.
Right.
And I think in the Bible where that was originally given, that said that there shall be peace on earth and the lion shall lie down with the lamb,
right.
that I often think that, you know, the United States and the superpowers and those that have the biggest weapons and the biggest guns and the biggest dicks, you know, are like the lions, the predators on the planet,
mm-hmm.
you know, the kings of preemptive strike. And
well,
that is not... Go.
So many people, you know, when that subject is brought up, will say, oh, well, you know, the prey-predator relationship is something that's natural or it's part of nature. But, you know, the greatest mystics of all time from every conceivable spiritual tradition have all said that the predatory behavior of animals is simply a mirroring of human predatory behavior. And when we cease to be predators, the animals will too.
Say that again.
All of the great mystics of all times from all of the different spiritual traditions, wherever you look, have said that the predatory behavior of animals is a mirroring of human predatory behavior. And when humans cease being predators, the animals will stop being predators also.
Well, let's look at that. I'm changing phones because one of these phones is a little bit funny. Let's look at that, apply it to our own lives, because, you know, I don't eat meat, and yet I give my cats cat food.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not been successful with converting them to vegetarians. You know, I've tried cottage cheese and brewer's yeast and taurine and, you know, all of
mm-hmm.
those things, and they have not been enthusiastic or happy campers about it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Part of it, Iris, is that the animals, as we all do, human beings included, the animals are mirroring a larger issue. It's not just what you attempt to present them with or the way that you would like to influence them, but they're mirroring the predatory behavior of the whole human species. So to overcome that is not an easy thing. And the other thing is just that, you see, animals are just like people, and they're as uniquely different as human beings, and some of them are ready to take that step to vegetarianism, and others aren't. But the good news is, I mean, in my work, I have more and more clients all the time that have fabulously healthy dogs and cats on vegetarian diets. So there is a collective change taking place.
That's so exciting.
Isn't that exciting? And I think each in our own way, you know, even if we can't create a complete shift for our animals, we can at least move in that direction a little bit.
Yes.
Not to mention that too much protein isn't good for anyone, people or animals.
Yeah.
So if all you can do is make a little dent in it, you're doing something that's very beneficial.
Well, I like, you know, our cats like cantaloupe. They like Triscuits, crackers.
Yes. Oh, Triscuits are a big hit, aren't they?
What?
Triscuits are a big hit.
Yes. And so I guess for me, to continue just offering them more of the vegetables and things.
Right.
And we have one cat that whatever you're eating, he wants some of. He doesn't care what it is. If
so
you're having
the thing to do is to build on that trend.
Uh-huh.
By offering him more of what you eat.
Yeah, because, Sharon, this is what I want. I want to tread so lightly and beautifully on the planet. I think of the thing in The Course in Miracles that says, to heal is to make happy. And so
yeah.
I try to make everyone and everything happier because I was there. You know, I really try to leave smiles in my wake. Instead of getting in hassles with drivers, I like to leave them smiling and happier because I drove by. I do. That's what I want. So I want to do that for animals, too. And there is nothing I love in the world more than baby chicks.
Right.
Little baby chicks are the
sweetest. They're so darling, aren't they?
Have you ever just held one in your hands and just felt that sweetness?
It's like holding a little angel.
It is. I just love them so much. And they're so happy. I love the way they walk around going, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
You know, just so happy. Just
it's
having
just
a good time. Yes. I love that. And that's what I want for people. And see, I don't think people can really have that when they're not supporting it in the life around them.
That's right.
I can't exactly say it in words, but I wanted to give it back to you. Because, you know, I'm in the business of having people's dreams come true.
I know you are.
And so for them to have their dreams come true, what everyone really wants all the time is to be happy, to be joyous, to feel alive. So seems like what we need to do is support the aliveness of all life.
Of all life. And what you're really talking about, Iris, is how to tap into grace. And the way to tap into grace and abundance is to begin to give those things, to bless everyone and everything that you meet, to give a gift to everyone you meet. As simple a thing as giving a smile to everyone, but you have to, the secret is you have to do it to everyone, not just every person, but every living thing. And really, if you make it a point to bring happiness to every living being that you meet, there's no way that you cannot have your dream come true. Because it's just a matter of cause and effect, and if you create happiness for other beings, you'll have happiness yourself and abundance.
That, you know, I don't think there's any more important key to life than what you just said, Sharon.
And it's really so simple. We just have to do it.
We
have to be willing to go out of our way, you know, if there's a person there that we're passing by or a little dog or cat. We have to be willing to go a little bit out of our way to greet that being and bring some ray of happiness into their life that wasn't there before.
Oh, and it makes you so happy to do that.
Doesn't it?
Yes, and, you know, I the other day, I saw a lady with a puppy, and she stopped at one store that I was at, and then I walked down later, and it was just such an adorable puppy, and I was petting her, and she was so sweet and real feisty and jump all over you and lick your face and all of that. And so I saw her a few minutes later, and she was tied up outside the nail salon, and she looked real sad. Her human was in getting her nails done, you know, and she was aww, saying, I'm waiting for my human all alone. And I went up, and I petted her, and I said, she'll be here in a few minutes, and she was so happy. And they're so anxious to just give love, to just give yeah, love to us. And she just gave me so much love. And then when I walked off, she looked so sad again, Sharon. I almost couldn't leave her.
Right.
I just almost couldn't leave her. And, you know, I don't know the answer there. I just know it's important to be loving and reassuring and bring some happiness.
Bring as much of it as you can in the moment. And I think animals like that little dog, I mean, they are animal companions in particular. They really want the best for us, and they want to help us make the highest choices that we can as far as what we do in life and how we spend our time. And although there's absolutely nothing at all wrong with having your hair done, I think sometimes animals just get sad when we consistently spend our time doing things that aren't really deeply important. And maybe with that little dog, it wasn't just that one thing being left while the woman was in the salon, but, you know, maybe that was happening all the time. And I'm just sure, Iris, that you're giving that dog some loving attention made a huge difference.
But, you know, it made a huge difference to me because I thought, how? You know, to the present time of that puppy, you know, the complete, how she switched to complete joy because I was there petting her.
Yes.
From being so sad. I mean, she was such a sad little thing when I walked up.
And it didn't take much of anything, did it?
No, and I'm thinking, why don't we take that lesson and be like that, be such in present time that we can let that much joy in? I mean, she was beside herself with joy because I came and petted her and loved her.
Right.
In that moment, she forgot her sadness completely.
A tremendous lesson in gratitude.
Yes. And being in present time.
Right.
Being in present time. I think that's one of the best things animals have to give us.
It is. It's one of their biggest lessons is how to be in present time. And if you're in present time, there really are no worries, because if you're in present time, there's no past and there's no future. There's just the precious moment now. And animals really know that.
And
they give us such examples.
And they are so grateful. You know, I was thinking about birds the other day, and there have been a lot of birds around here, more than usual, and just singing with all their hearts, just singing their hearts out. And I had this thought the other day. I thought, birds can fly because they continually give praise, love, and gratitude. That's what makes them so light.
That's true.
I think it is.
And I think that, you know, if we're really in the moment with a sense of gratitude for everything, then when we walk out our door and we hear the birds singing like that, we'll take a moment to thank them for their song. Because they really respond to that, too. I mean, it isn't just that they're doing it automatically, but they're doing it because their hearts are just overflowing with love and joy and gratitude. And I don't know about you, Iris, but sometimes in my own life, when I've taken the time to communicate with the birds and thank them for their songs, they'll sing even more. Because they really get so little appreciation for what they do.
Really? Oh, I appreciate them so much.
I'll bet you have a lot of them in your yard, too.
I do, but, you know, we have a little lecture that every day when the cats go out, we say, birds are friends, not food, and not toys. Birds are friends, you know, because...
Good.
And lizards, too.
Lizards, yes.
And so far, there haven't been any birds caught for a long time, but lizards are still like, oh, easy for you to say, Mom.
Right.
So, Sharon, where are we? What? Tell people how they can reach you.
I can be reached through my website, which is www.annaflora.com, or by telephone at 877-926-1245.
Okay. I want to tell people about the little tyke story, and that is available on your website. And I ordered the book that you recommend at the end of that story.
Would you
share about that? I ordered several copies for people.
Tell
about Little Tyke, and then I want to tell people that I will give away 3 free copies of this book to the first 3 emailers we get. But tell about it first.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you were able to order it, because over the years it's gone in and out of print. And the last time I went to order it, I found that they didn't have any more, so I'm really glad to hear that it's available again. The story of Little Tyke is one of my favorite stories in all the world, and it just perfectly illustrates what we're talking about today. You know, when we talk about the predatory nature of animals and how animals mirror the human predatory behavior, and, you know, the kind of thought we have often that, oh, well, animals can't help it or they can't do any different. But, you know, among animals, like among people, there are beings that are very high beings that really take incarnation to tell us or act as an example of a higher way to live. And Little Tyke was one of those. She was a lioness. This is back in, I think, the 1940s or something. But she was born in a little zoo or refuge. And she had, I believe it was 3 cubs, and she killed 2 of them. And I think the reason she killed them was that she just couldn't bear the thought of having them live their life in a cave, a cage, the way that she was. But the 3rd little cub she had attacked but not killed. And this wonderful woman who the story is about rescued her and took her home and began to bottle feed her. She was just a tiny little lioness cub. And when she got to a certain age, several weeks old, the veterinarian told the woman that she would have to start putting beef blood in Little Tyke's milk to get her used to the taste of animals, because she would soon have to learn how to kill things and to fend for herself, or at least get used to eating meat. But the amazing thing was that when they put the blood in the meat, she would never touch it. And they tried everything they could. And then as she got a little older, they tried to feed her meat, things like hamburger and that kind of thing. And she always refused. And in the book, for whoever gets the benefit of your offer of a book today, you'll find beautiful photographs in the story of Little Tyke that show her turning her nose up at the offer of a piece of steak or something. She just simply would not eat meat. And so
what
she
did
was
she
vegetarian.
Eat?
She
what
ate
she?
Vegetarian food. She basically ate what the people ate. I think that they did give her certain dairy products, but all the veterinarians and things said that, oh, she'll die, she won't make it into adulthood, she can't survive without eating meat. But not only did she survive, but she lived an incredibly long time, and she was one of the most beautiful specimens of a lioness that you've ever seen. And there were many things on the news in those times where she became very popular, and these news people would come, and they would try to do things to disprove that she was a vegetarian, like they would suddenly throw out a lot of little baby chicks, expecting her to attack them. But she never, ever did. She didn't have a mean bone in her body, and there are incredible photographs of her lying alongside a lamb and other animals. So to me, Little Tyke was really like a saint, like an animal that really has come to show us that animals don't have to be predatory. They really, truly are copying human behavior, and they can be different just as we can be different. So I'm just so glad that you're giving that book away, because it's one of my all-time favorites.
Well, you have it, right?
I do.
You have a copy. Well, Sharon, I don't have it yet. I just took the address that was on your website. I wrote him a check. I wrote him a note thanking him for doing it, and I just did it. I haven't heard back, but if I get these books,
I'm sure
if they are available and I get them, I will give away 3 copies to the first 3 emailers to miracleshp@yahoo.com. It's miracleshp@yahoo.com. And also, we have 3 copies of Sharon's book, How to Heal Animals Naturally with Intuitive Listening. I always get tongue-tied. You say it.
Healing Animals Naturally with Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening.
Oh, it's Flower Essences first. Would you like to talk about Flower Essences some more, Sharon?
Well, it's kind of a topic in itself, but in a nutshell, a flower essence is somewhat similar to like a homeopathic remedy. Flower essences are made by floating a particular kind of flower on the surface of a bowl of water in the sunlight for 3 or 4 hours. And during that time, the sunlight transfers the energetic imprint of the flower into the water, and then the water is stored for future use when the essence is complete. And the theory with flower essences is that each flower has an energetic signature that can help people and other animals heal. And roses, for instance, are like the lotus of the West. So roses represent higher thinking and enlightenment and those kinds of things. And a lot of the flowers, you can tell what their energetic signature is by the folk name, like Bleeding Heart, for instance, helps people and other animals get over a broken heart or come out of the effects of an abusive situation, and Forget-Me-Not, which is for loneliness. So a lot of times the energetic signature, the way that the plant can help, is evident in its folk name. And I make flower essences that are specifically created to heal animals and to heal the relationship between animals and human beings. And it's interesting, Iris, as we talk about animals today, and I mention animals, it just comes to me that so often as human beings, we forget that we're animals too. You know, we're just the human animals, but we are animals. And so all of the different species of animals on Earth really truly are our brothers and sisters. And I think that if we kind of re-reminded ourselves that we are animals, we are one of the animal species on Earth, it might help us to get back in touch with the equality of all species, because it really is simply that we're visiting the Earth in different kinds of bodies, and that's really the only difference.
Well, you know, what I have found fascinating is that it's been, you know, sort of justifiable to do violence to animals or to kill them or to eat them or use their skins, that they don't have a soul. And that is just, I'm sorry, that's just utter and total and complete bullshit.
Well, it's also incredibly ignorant in the light of what we know about energy and physics now. And I mean, it's not really that anything has a soul or doesn't have a soul, but really that we're all living souls. And it doesn't make any difference whether the living soul inhabits the body of an elephant or a baby chick or a human being. So it's something that's important to bring up over and over again, because we know so much more now that we really can't get away with that belief that animals are somehow lesser or that they don't have souls. You're right, it's nonsense.
Well, the other thing, I started to say this a while ago, I just recently saw a Ramsa discourse in saying that the reason people would pronounce another people as heathens or as having no soul or, you know, the infidels was mm-hmm. because that made it okay to kill them and take their property.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of what's been done to animals.
It absolutely is, particularly with the destruction of the habitats of so many wild animals. I mean, we literally are taking their homes and their lives away.
I know.
And I mean, so many of these issues that we're talking about, they're hard to think about, but, you know, really, I found a great quote from Paul McCartney, who said that if slaughterhouses had glass walls, everybody would be a vegetarian. And you know that's really true. It's like we hide our heads in the sand and we don't want to look at it. But literally, every single day, millions of lambs and calves and pigs, chickens, horses, and other animals. You know, most of them very, very young. They haven't even begun to live their life yet, and all of them innocent. They're transported to killing centers to be slaughtered for the table of people that are simply more powerful than they are. And they can't fight back. So I think that, you know, the biggest thing that I could say today is let's find ways to give the animals a voice. Let's speak up in their defense.
Well, what do you suggest, Sharon? What are ways you suggest?
Well, I feel that the very number one thing is to be an example in the world of non-harming, because I have a wonderful spiritual teacher that always says that we should walk through our life doing the least harm possible. So I think the number one step really is creating a life for ourselves in which as little as possible we do harm to other creatures. Because then everywhere we go, just by virtue of our example, the world will change. You know, eating vegetarian food, not wearing leather, being that example in the world makes a tremendous difference. And then I think, you know, another thing that is so powerful, probably the number one powerful thing, is prayer. And we all know that, but we forget to do it. And I think that if each of us, when we woke up in the morning, very first thing, held that image of the lion and the lamb together and peace on earth for all creatures, in a very short time, we would begin to see the world change. And then I think number three is what you were saying, Iris, when you were describing speaking up and asking where our products come from, what they're made of, are they tested on animals? Isn't there another way to do it? So that's the way of taking action. You know, first we pray, then we act as an example in the world of non-harming, and then we learn to be brave enough to take action and ask questions. And I think those would be the three R's.
The three R's. What else, Sharon? Tell people how they can reach you again.
I can be reached through my website, which is www.anaflora.com. Or by calling 877-926-1245. And the other thing, Iris, that comes to mind is just your whole perspective on creating beauty in the world wherever we can find it. You know, making people happy, making animals happy, responding when the birds are happy and showing our appreciation. Because all of these things we're talking about put together, even though they seem little, really, truly will change the world.
And they're done, and if they're done consistently, too.
If they're done consistently by enough people, the world would change in a flash.
Well, I call that forth. I call that forth, and I call forth the desire to serve life in every heart.
Right.
I call that forth, and because, you know, there used to be this hillside right by the freeway where we live, and it's actually one of the things that inspired me so much to do a radio show. And it was that somebody every year in flowers did, well, the first picture they did on the hillside was the Mona Lisa.
Oh, how incredible.
They did the Mona Lisa in mustard flowers. And then the next year they did Marilyn Monroe. And then the year after that they did a giant sunburst. So imagine this whole beautiful emerald green hill and then these yellow flowers in those patterns. And I drove by that and I thought, oh, my God, somebody mowed their own lawn, took care of their own kid, did all of their own jobs, and then they took the time to make that beautiful thing for all of us that drive by to look at. And
isn't
I thought,
incredible?
Yes. And I thought, I just want to do something beautiful for life, something uplifting and inspiring and healing and that touches people's hearts, that touches the hearts of all life. That's what I want. And so I invited you because you are one of the people, you know, you're in the top five of all people I've ever met that is committed to your task every moment of every day in everything in every way. And I am so, so grateful for that, Sharon.
Well,
it's
I thank you for that, Iris, but I really do want to encourage our listeners that they can do likewise, that it really doesn't take much but being goes back to what you were saying, Iris, about being present in the moment. Because if we really take the example of the animals and stay absolutely in present time and then begin to look around at ways that we can make things beautiful, either by complimenting someone and making them feel good so that their light expands, or creating some beautiful work of art, or planting flowers. That's something that you're good at, Iris, is sending and planting flowers. I think it's just a wonderful thing to do, because flowers really do represent love. And all of us can plant a flower or give a flower to a friend. All of us can thank the birds for their songs in the morning. And all of us can speak up for those creatures, people and animals, who can't speak for themselves. And if enough of us do that, we can create peace on earth, and the lion really will lay down with the lamb.
And so it is. Thank you for being here. I want you to be on with us again soon, if you will, Sharon.
Well, thank you, Iris.
Thank you, and I'll be back on next Monday at 2 o'clock here on BBS. Until then, happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again. God bless you. This is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Our men, our women, our children, all the animals, and yee-haw!